Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our worship service, or every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school, every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. We appreciate you so much and love it when we have visitors, love it when we have folks come that are maybe looking for a church home, and we definitely want to encourage anybody that who is not in a church home right now to find somewhere where they would feel comfortable, find somewhere where they would be able to serve the Lord and serve Him with gladness. So go out to your respective house of worship and just lift up the name of the Lord. I want to wish happy birthday to a couple of folks this week. Marty Metter and Eric Metter are sharing a birthday today. Appreciate Marty and Eric very much. Looking forward to Tony Wilson on Monday the 21st having a birthday. And next Wednesday is a birthday for Miss Vicki Reynolds and Mr. Larry Ward. And we appreciate all these members so much. Happy birthday to all of you. Don't forget, this week coming up is Father's Day. This Sunday is Father's Day. Don't forget to call your dad and tell him how much you love him, how much you appreciate him. And for those of you that maybe your earthly father has gone home, don't forget that God the Father loves you very much and He cares about you. I want to share with you out of the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Now, let's share these verses together and then we'll talk a little bit about Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. The Bible says, "After these things he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" You know, there are many things that call us. Telephone calls beckon us, doorbells solicit us, and babies cry for our attention. The alarm clock calls us to begin a new day. The boss calls us to his office. The customer calls with an order. An email calls us with a question. We are called to visit our relatives, share a dinner with our friends, and to visit our children's school. Some feel those are calls they can't refuse. The appeal to go fishing, go to the beach, or go to vacationing in the mountains. But how many of us take time to hear the spiritual call that God sends us? In this short section of Scripture, we see how Christ called one of His followers. The 12 apostles were not noteworthy men. They did not have special talents, special training, or special education. They were common people of their time. And yet, watch this, Jesus selected them for the most important work ever undertaken. As we study the Bible, we realize how God has called men and women to serve Him over the centuries. All those who choose to follow Christ do so because they are called. Here in Luke, we see how Jesus called Levi. Levi was the Hebrew name of the man who was also given the name of Matthew. Many people think Jesus gave Matthew this name since Matthew in the Greek means the gift of God, whereas Levi in the Hebrew just means linked. Levi was a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated in Jesus' day. So far, as we go throughout this chapter, Jesus has handled a paralytic, a leper, a demoniac in the book of Luke there, and now he's ready for the worst of the group, a tax collector. Matthew freely identifies himself in Matthew chapter 9, where he relates this same story. You can also read about it in Mark chapter 2, and he refers to himself as Matthew the publican in the list of the 12 apostles in Matthew chapter 10. So you see, Levi, or Matthew, understood something about God's mercy. He wasn't about to hide it. He wasn't about to downplay what he had been in his past, because he knew that because of his torrid past, because of the things that he had been, God was going to receive more glory because he'd saved not just a good man, not just a priest, not just somebody that was on the right track already, but God had saved a dirty old tax collector. God had stepped in the form of Jesus Christ and had saved Matthew, had took Levi and transformed him from one man into the next name. And he'd give him a new name. He'd give him a way to be understood by the world, saying, I'm no longer who I was, but I've been made new because of this man that I've met. He understood about God's mercy, and he wasn't about to hide it. In these 6 verses in Luke 5, we'll see 5 areas of Christ's calling on Levi's life. First of all, as we go through these verses, I want you to notice that Levi was called while he was in sin. Levi was called by Christ. Thirdly, he was called to repentance. He was called to follow, and he was called to share his faith. These are the same areas of Christ's calling on our lives. And we must take notice of these things. And we must allow these things to be a part of our everyday life. Friend, listen. If our Christianity is only serving us on Sundays and Wednesdays, we are falling far short of what Jesus has asked us to do. Let's look again at verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. Levi was a tax collector. According to Packer and Tenney, the tax collectors made their profits by charging a higher toll than the law required. The licensed collectors often hired minor officials called publicans to do the actual work of collecting the tolls. The publicans extracted their own wages by charging a fraction more than their employer required. Now listen, the disciple Matthew was a publican who collected tolls on the road between Damascus and Acho. His booth was probably located just outside the city of Capernaum, and he may have also collected taxes from the fishermen for their catches. Normally, a publican would charge 5% of the purchase price of a normal trade, but could get up to 12.5%. Matthew also collected taxes from fishermen who worked along the Sea of Galilee and boatmen who brought their goods from cities on the other side of the lake. Now, friends, listen. The Jews considered a tax collector's money to be unclean. And it was so unclean, now watch this, you're not going to see this happen much in Hart County, but it was so unclean that if he had too large of a note, the Jew would not even take the change back. They wouldn't even handle the change back from when the tax collector had touched it. They considered it to be unclean. If a Jewish man did not have the exact amount of collector required, he'd borrow money from a friend. Jewish people despised the publicans as agents of the hated Roman Empire and of the puppet Jewish king. Publicans were not allowed to testify in court. They could not tithe their money to the temple. And a good Jew would not even associate with publicans in private life. As a matter of fact, in order to make a living, publicans had to extort an extra illegal amount from those being taxed. This amount was completely at their discretion. So Levi, watch this, was practicing a sinful occupation. But Levi was called while in his sin. You remember a little verse? It goes something like this. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in our sin, God does not ask us to clean up our life first. God does not ask you to get your affairs in order before He calls you. We are called right where we are. None of us are good enough or righteous enough to be a part of God's family. We're unworthy. Do you feel unworthy? Do you feel God can't love you because of the sin in your life? Do you feel like you need to quit drinking before you can go to church? Or you need to drop the drugs before you can go to church? Or you need to start treating your family better before you can go to serve the Lord? Friend, listen to me. You're being called right where you are. You're being called while in your sins. God will help you and give you strength, but you cannot overcome those sins on your own. You need divine help. It's Christ who called Levi, and it's Christ who is calling you. We are not saved because our parents took us to church. We are not saved because it says Baptist on the sign. We are not saved because our friends have told us about God. And we're not saved because we know what the Bible says. We are saved because Christ calls us. Listen to this verse. Mark it down. Remember this verse. It's important to you. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, 44, what it say? The Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Jesus came to redeem humanity from the penalty of sin. Now he is calling all who will believe. Do you hear his call? Can you hear his voice speaking in your heart? If so, follow the example Levi set. He left all, rose up, and followed him. That's what verse 28 tells us. Levi heard Christ's call to repentance, and he left everything behind. He left his sinful lifestyle, he left all of his livelihood, and he left his position. When Jesus calls us, we must be willing to leave everything for him. True repentance, now watch, I know this is a point of contention in many places. True repentance will result in change. Of course, we are never sinless, but we cannot repent without letting go of the old sinful habits and practices. We must relinquish our former iniquities altogether and without reserve. I want you to suppose that Matthew, when Christ called him and commanded him to be his follower, had answered him and looked Christ right in the eye and he said, you know, I'll come upon occasionally when I'm able to, when it afforded me at my leisure, and that for the future, when employed in collecting taxes, I won't do overly bad. Would Christ have accepted such a service? Would Jesus have said, okay, that's fine. You just do a little bit here and there and that'll be enough. No, it's not good enough. Jesus said for him to leave it all, and so he left all. He rose up, and we need to do some raising up in our churches today. Too often, friends, we're laying back and allowing everything to run over you. Christian, listen to me. You've not been called to be a doormat. You are a child of the King, and it's not you for the world to wipe their feet upon you and to tread all over you. You stand up, you rise up, and you be what God has called you to be. Why? Because you have the victory over this world, and you're not subject to it any longer. No longer are you subject to it. Jesus did not only call Levi to repentance, he also called him to follow. There are many Christians who have been remorseful over their sins because of a guilty conscience, and they repented, but they haven't begun to follow. Jesus not only called Levi to leave his own life, he also called him to follow. It would have been impossible for Levi to know what following Christ would mean. So he simply followed in obedience. Steve Brown tells the story of King Henry III of Bavaria in the 11th century. And it seems King Henry was tired of the pressures of court life, and he felt God was calling him to a more meaningful life in a monastery. So he visited the local monastery and expressed his desire to the monk there. The man asked him, "Do you understand the pledge here is one of obedience? It might be very hard for you since you've been a king." But Henry was determined. And he said, "I understand. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." He was ready to follow Christ wherever it led. Little did he expect where it would lead. The monk looked at the king and told him, "Then I'll tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you." The king obediently returned to his throne with a new sense of mission and ministry. He had learned what it meant to follow Christ. We may not know what Christ wants us to do, but we must be willing to follow him. Look at verse 29. "Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them." After Levi made his commitment to Christ, he made a great feast and invited all his friends to hear the words of Jesus. Levi felt called to share his faith with others. Apparently, Levi was very popular. It says there was a large company of people, including many tax collectors. You may have felt God's call to repentance and Christ's call to follow him, but have you also felt God's call for you to share your faith? Levi wanted his friends to know about Jesus. He wanted them to experience the same deliverance and joy that he had found. Now, it's been suggested that Levi had three purposes in arranging this great feast. First of all, he wanted to honor the Lord. Secondly, he wanted to witness publicly to his new allegiance. And he wanted to introduce his friends to Jesus. Most Jews would not have eaten with a group of tax collectors. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, Matthew displayed a care for those around him by introducing them to Jesus. So what separates us from all the others? If you look at your church home, if you look at the people around you, ask yourself this. Do they care about the people in our county? Do they care about the people in Hart County? I had a young preacher ask me to speak with him. It made me feel pretty well. I took it as a huge compliment. And he said, I know that in Hart County, there are so many churches. There are so many churches that it just seems as if they all have the same pattern. Seems as if they're all cut from the same cloth. They've all got nice buildings. They've all got wonderful members. They've all got good preachers. They all preach from the same Bible. We're preaching the same message about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. We believe in obedience. We believe all these things the same. Why is it that one church seems to thrive while another seems to dry up? Why is it that one church can be doing the best there ever is, and 4 miles down the road there's another church that seems to be struggling? And I said, friend, if you look at it, the main thing that's different is the heart of the people. If the people's heart want it to happen, it's going to happen. If the people want to be obedient to Jesus and follow Him, and they want to share those things in their faith, then good things are going to happen. A church that's on fire for God. A church that's willing to step out of the pew and take it to the streets. A church that's willing to do those things, you'll see them flourish, because God will bless it. God will bless it. God will take and do great things where people are willing. That's the difference. It's the people's hearts. And so I want you to examine your heart. Are you ready to go out and share the faith? Are you ready to stand upon the firing line? Are you ready to be on the front line for Christ? Are you ready to head out and to tell this world about what Jesus has done in your life and to share your testimony? The heart makes a difference. Not simply going through the motions of Christianity, but living it and experiencing it makes the difference. The difference is the people. And you have to show that you care about people before they'll care about the message you have to share. Look at verse 30. The scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Oh me. Oh me. Listen, while Levi's busy sharing his faith with those like him who have been trapped in sin, the religious leaders are filled with their own feelings of self-righteousness. It is easy, I'm going to say this as plainly as possible, it is easy to criticize others, but we should each consider, who are those that are too dirty, too sinful, or too common for us to associate with? Are there people in your life, as you walk up and down the streets of Mumfordville or Horse Cave or wherever it is that you're at, and you look around you, do you actually find feelings in your mind, Christian, where you say those people are too dirty or too sinful or too common? Yes, I know. That's pretty harsh. Levi was not the only one called to share his faith. We are all called. But some of us are so busy being good Christians and looking for good Christian types in order to share our faith with, that we overlook those that are dirty and sinful and common. We overlook those that are in the gutters beside us, or in the tenant houses, or on the farms, or we overlook those that actually need the gospel. Friend, listen to me. Jesus has called us to eat with the tax collectors. He's called us to step out into the places where people are hurting, where people need to hear the message. You got to go around the folks sometimes. When God calls us into the mission field, we got to go around the people that smell like whiskey. And every other word is a cuss word. And the children run around the yard dirty. And all that. I'm telling you, folks, that's what Jesus came for. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. The greatest thing that ever happened to mankind is that Jesus Christ came for sinners. Jesus answered them and said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus does not heal the ones who think they are well and don't need Him. He only heals the ones who are sick and willing to admit their spiritual illness. As long as we think we can handle things ourselves and don't need help, we will continue in our ignorance and our sin. Tax collectors and sinners realized that they were sinners and they needed to be saved from their sins. It was for people like them that the Savior came. Actually, the Pharisees were not righteous. They needed to be saved as much as the tax collectors, but they were unwilling to confess their sins and to acknowledge their guilt. So, dear, dear friend, let me ask you, are you willing to admit that you are sick and in need of a Savior? Do you realize that there is one who wants to make you spiritually whole? Do you understand that there is one who loves you more than you can imagine? Jesus is going forth today searching for publicans and sinners. He's searching through the streets. He's searching in the workplaces. He's searching in the schools. He's even looking in the churches. In these two verses, we've seen that Jesus repeats to the Pharisees the first three steps of Levi's calling. Jesus told the Pharisees that He came to call the people in their sin, those who are sick. He tells them that it is He who calls not the righteous, but the sinners. And He tells them that He's called sinners to repentance. Listen to me. God did not love Levi any more than He loves you and He loves me. And He's calling us today just as He was calling Levi 2,000 years ago. We are called while we're in our sin. We're called by Christ alone. We're called to repentance. We're called to follow and to share our faith. And I certainly hope that you've got that recipe for success in your spiritual life. If not, I want to challenge you to take a mental evaluation of where you stand with Christ. And when you see shortcomings in your life, remind yourself that our God is a loving God and that our God wants to restore us to a place where we can be used to our maximum glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you bow your head with me for a moment of prayer? Father God, we come to You, Lord, just acknowledging the fact that Jesus loves us and reminding ourselves, dear God, that we are sinners, that we, Father, are imperfect people, that we are fallible here this morning. And God, I pray that You might help us, Father, to share what's happened to us in our lives. I thank You, dear Jesus, that You came to me when I was at my worst, and You saved me anyway. And God, I pray that You might help others to share their faith as Levi did, that, Father, You might help others to show the world what a change that Jesus has wrought in our hearts. We'll thank You for these things in His precious name. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.